know there's some tough goes. It's tough, right? Y'all agree? You read through your Bible? Some of you doing it now? But you also find out there's some gems hidden, amen, in there. It's all good, don't get me wrong, but you know what I'm saying. There's some tough, hard road to hoe reading sometimes, right? And then you run across something that's a gem and such a blessing. And this would, in Deuteronomy, I think, is a good book, has a lot of good stuff in it. But this passage here I really like, and it is a good passage for life and for the Christian life and anybody. And I want to preach to you on this thought tonight, the call to worthwhile living. The call to worthwhile living. If you were to ask people what a worthwhile life looks like, most people probably would say, you know, as long as you're happy, you know, as long as you're happy and as long as you can pay the bills and, you know, and all of that kind of stuff, maybe get married or whatever. But you know, God, knowing God is really the key to a worthwhile life, right? So here Moses is, he's getting Israel ready to go into the promised land. Moses is coming to the end of his time, but he's getting them ready to go in. So he gives them some instruction. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 30, if you look at verse 14, we'll go down to the end of the chapter, verse 14. In verse 14, but the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. You think about that, folks. The word is very nigh unto thee. The word of God. Aren't you glad you're living in a land where the word of God is accessible and very nearby? Amen. What a privilege it is to have the Bible, the word of God, the instruction from the Lord. And then in verse 15, he says, see, I have set before thee this day life and good, death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shall be drawn away, and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land, whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Dear Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for your word. We thank you for these instructions in it. And Lord, how they not only were for the Israelites at that time, but your people today, they apply to us. So we pray you'd help us, God, as we look at it tonight. And I ask your help now in Jesus' name. Amen. The call to worthwhile living. They had been wandering in the wilderness, just wandering. You don't want to waste your life. Amen. You want to have a productive life. You want to be able to say glory to God at the end of it. Amen. And so here Moses is drawing to the end of his life. He's given these final instructions here to the Israelites to get them ready to go in and make the most of it. Now, you know the story. As we said this morning there in 1 Corinthians 10, they were reminded that they had the privileges, but they didn't take advantage of the privileges. So Paul used that as admonition for the New Testament Christian. So it's really a lot of the same thing that Paul was talking about there that we're seeing right here. So he was getting them ready. So we know the story. We know how it turned out. We know how they did go after idols and forsook God and all of that. They chose death instead of life in many ways. But nevertheless, he's getting them ready. He's talking to them here about how they should live when they get there, and how God will respond to how they live when they get there. You obey God, He'll bless you. You don't obey God, you won't get blessed. Now, it's really not any simpler than that, right? I mean, that's laying it out there. So after he says, hey, if you obey God, follow God, love God, do what God wants you, He'll bless you, and everything will be good. If you don't, it's not going to be so good. So then he just gave the simple advice and also command, choose life. Do the right thing. Just do the right thing. If you do the right thing, it's a blessing. Amen? It blesses your heart when you know you do the right thing. Amen? Doing the right thing, I've always said, has its own reward. You just feel good at the end of the day, you did the right thing. You may not have made everybody happy, but you're happy because God's happy, right? So if you do the right thing and you choose right, you feel good about it and God blesses it. But he just lets them know, if you don't, that's the admonition there, that you need to choose life. You need to refuse the idolatry that is in the land of Canaan. You need to drive out the heathen completely and all of their false idols. Now, you know, again, they didn't totally succeed at that. And they had some pitfalls. The Lord said, if you leave it, it's going to be a snare unto you. And it often was. But you know what he's trying to do here? The principle is this. I was talking about temptation this morning. The principle is this. Go ahead and decide before you get there what you're going to do. I mean, Daniel purposed in his heart he would not defile himself, right? Daniel had already decided when the temptation came, I'm going to do what's right. Joseph, whenever Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he already knew he was going to do that which was right. He said, I cannot do this sin against God, right? These were men that had already decided when the temptation comes, when the problem arises, I'm just going with God. You need to go ahead and make your mind up about that. So he was getting them ready for that, saying, when you get there, you've got the word, he said in verse 14, and I've set this before you today. He said, I'm calling you to make a decision. Go ahead and make it now and when you get there. So I'm glad that the blessings of this can apply to us today. Amen. We know the Bible. We know right from wrong. Now, we know there's temptation. We know anybody can be allured into sin. We know anybody can fall. He that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. So don't ever say, I won't do that. I'll never do that. That won't be me. You can't say that. Look, when it's all said and done, you're saved, you're a child of God, you're going to heaven. Amen? And you want to get there saying, I lived according to the will of God, right? I followed the Lord. I wholly followed the Lord the whole time. Now, we don't plan on sinning. We don't plan on falling. And there's ways for us to overcome that. You know, we're talking about temptation there this morning. And what we'll do during our trying times. Well, that's what he's getting them ready for now as well. To stay on the right path. Prepare for the battles ahead of time. Go ahead and know that the trials are coming. Does anybody expect to have trouble from the world, the flesh, and the devil this week? Go ahead and plan on it. Is your flesh going to give you a problem? That's your sinful nature. I said this morning, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and probably the worst one of them is the flesh, because that's me, right? I have to deal with me. I have to deal with myself. And I have to go ahead and know I'm going to disappoint myself and others. But I already know that. But I want to try to make sure I don't go too far with that. Amen. We just know the battle's there. So go ahead and say, Lord, help me. That's what, you know what, by the way, you know the idea behind personal devotions or morning devotions? Having a verse and a prayer before you go out for your day. That's just you saying, Lord, I devote this day to you. Before you even get started, Lord, this day is devoted to you. Lord, I need your help throughout this day. Lord, I need you to guide me, lead me, protect me, give me strength for the day. I mean, just go on. Look, if you go on out the door and get your day started and then think about God later, you're already in trouble, right? So go ahead and start with God. Amen. You're devoting your day to the Lord. You're saying, I'm going to head it off now. So that's really kind of what he's doing here, saying, hey, this trouble's going to come. So understanding what Moses was saying, it really didn't take a smart man to realize what he was just trying to say. Choose life. You do wrong, you perish. You do right, that's life and that's blessing. Amen? So as we think about that, we're talking tonight about the call to worthwhile living. How to have a life worth living is more than just being happy. It's more than just finding happiness. It's more than just seeking happiness. That seems to be the pursuit of the world. And a lot of folks don't feel like they're living a worthwhile life. A lot of folks don't realize or feel like they have any purpose in life. They don't know what it's about. And that's why the Lord said you can gain the whole world, lose your own soul. You haven't profited anything, right? Knowing the Lord is the main thing. So number one tonight, let's say this. Number one, you need to know the giver of life. He's talking about the Lord here. The Word's near you. The Word's with you. God is with you. You need to know the one who gives life. And I'm not just talking about this physical life, although we need to give it to God. We need to recognize God gave it. But I'm talking about beyond that, our spiritual life and our eternal life. We need to realize where that comes from. Most people today are, you know, I'm just trying to be happy in life. Are you going to heaven? Yeah, I'm working on that too. I'm trying to be a good guy, trying to be a good lady, trying to be the best I can. And you need to realize who gives eternal life is not you. It's not your efforts. It's not your good works. That's not going to get you eternal life. Eternal life is a gift from God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So we already know we've got a wage upon us. We've already earned our wages. That's sin, that's death, that's hell. We've already earned our wages. We started out earning our wages, right? By sin. But there's a gift that comes. It's the giver of life. It's the giver of eternal life. It's the giver of salvation. And we got to recognize, and they needed to recognize that was God. Why would you go into that land, cross the Jordan, conquer the land, get in there and say, God, thank you for giving me this life. And then go worship the false gods that are already there in that land. Right? Why would you abandon the God that gave you life? Why would you abandon the God that gave you that land? Why would you abandon him and go after some false gods? That was their temptation, so they were already warned about it. And that's exactly what they did. Folks, life's not going to be worth a whole lot if you turn your back on the one that gave it to you. You believe that? Yeah, I'm telling you, that's why the Bible says people are lost. They don't realize the precious gift of life and that you're going to owe it back to God that gave it. And the God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gave His life on the cross so that you could have eternal life. We owe it all to God. Amen? We owe it all to God. We got to learn that. You got to know that. You got to know the one who gives you life, and that is everlasting life. John 6, the Bible says, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He has it already. Aren't you? Look, if you die tonight, if you die tomorrow, you die 10 years from now, you're saved, where are you going? You're going to heaven. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. You already know that. Why? You got a promise. Well, I'm trying to get there. No, you've got a promise. If you're a child of God, that's where your home is, right? And the Lord's not going to take that away from you. You might lose some rewards along the way, but you're not going to lose eternal life. God gave you that. Amen? Right? God gave you that. God promised that. It is not arrogant for you to say, when I leave this earth, I'm going to heaven. I just believe God. Now, a lot of folks think that's arrogant. They don't like you saying that. A lot of church people say, well, that's pride. No, that's not pride. That's faith. Amen. In the one who promised eternal life. I just believe what he said. I know that's the great dividing line between denominations today is whether a Christian can be lost again or whether you're going to make it or not. I don't see what's so hard about just saying, well, God promised. I think he my theology is based on his promise. Amen? Right? I'm a child of God. I can disappoint Him. I can lose rewards at the judgment, but He gave me eternal life. How long is that? How long is eternal? Boy, that's hard to comprehend. You ever thought about heaven? I've been thinking about heaven lately, and you think you've got loved ones in heaven. You think about heaven, right? It's eternal. I mentioned last week, my brother, he's been up there 19 years, and now my dad's there. To my dad, it was a long 19 years. I kind of feel like to my brother, it wasn't so long. I don't know how they do things up there in eternity, but they're not on the timetable we're on, and Jesus is a light and they have no night. Amen? So the Lord is the giver of life. He gives eternal life. And all that come to Him, He says, I will in no wise cast out. That's a good promise too. Recognize and know the giver of life. Number two is simply this. Jesus gives us abundant life. The life that they were promised in the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, God always described it in good ways. Now, He never said you won't have giants to fight. He never said you won't have battles. He never said that. But He promised a good, blessed life, right? So the Lord not only gave you life, and the Lord, if you're saved, He not only gives you eternal life, He also promised that He would give you abundant life. Isn't life so much richer and better saved than it was when you were lost? Amen. I mean, can you call on the Lord today? Hey, we're about to celebrate Easter. But you know what? The truth of the matter is, for a Christian, every day is Easter. He's alive. He's with us. Amen. Right? You can talk to Him. You can call on Him. You can give your petitions and your prayers to Him. And He wants to give a rich, blessed life. Now look, as Christians, we get despondent. We get in despair. We have problems too. And we have trying times. We get disappointed. But we have the promises of God to lean on. Right? We have the promises of God to stand on. We have prayer that we can take it to our Father in heaven. We can sit at Jesus' feet and say, Lord, I need some help today. He wants to give abundant life. He wants to give richer life and blessed life. And that's abundant life. I would dare say, you would say, since I've been saved, life's been better. I didn't say easier because you're in a battle. But you know what I'm saying. Life's been better, right? How many people's lives, once they turned it over to God, got better and improved? I mean, just getting out of sin, folks. Just getting out of life of sin will bless you, right? Just living a good life. A lost person can live a good, clean, moral life and maybe, you know, have some health benefits of just doing that. But if a person gets saved and gives their life to God and they got the guidance and direction and help of God doing the right thing, they can have abundant life. You know, I was thinking about these hymns that we sing. Now, there's several books out there. I don't have a story for you right now, but I do know there's several of those. There's books about hymn stories. Every hymn pretty much has a story behind it. The hymn writer, if you pay attention to those hymns, they're rich in what they say, right? These are people that were deeply spiritual. These were people that had experiences with God. These are people that knew what it was to be without God, and now they know what it is to be with God. And boy, they just put it down in poetry, if you will, and set it to music. We sing it as hymns, and it blesses our hearts. If they had never got saved, they'd have never been able to write those things, right? That's just one example of how life is better. I always talking about my dad getting saved, and I know life got better for our family after that because the focus was better, right? Things got better because of that, no doubt about it. So you need to know the giver of life. That's God. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to know that Jesus gives abundant life. Thank Him for it. You got a problem today, give it to Jesus. That's abundant life. That's better life. You say, well, I feel like Job. I'm going through this. I'm going through that. But you're going through it with God. You're not lost anymore. Amen? Right? It's abundant life. Let me say this, number three. Know God's plan for you in your life. Know God's plan for your life. So that's what He's telling them here in the passage. He says, I've set before you this day life and good, death and evil. Then in verse 16, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to keep His commandments. You've got a purpose. God has a plan for you. God, I'm getting ahead of myself. God clearly set forth a plan for them to cross the Jordan River. They told they would do that. Didn't know how they would do that. Didn't know how they would get across the Red Sea either, but Jordan River was going to be a similar situation. God was going to make a way, right? God was going to open it up. But God's word clearly teaches that he has a plan. Now, if God's preparing a place for you up in heaven, he has a plan, right? Do you believe your death date is already on God's calendar? He has a plan. He has a plan. That's right. Do you believe God has a plan for you between now and that date? You need to believe it. Amen. God's got a plan for your life. God has a reason for things that go on in your life. God has a plan. He wants you to live abundant life. Now, what did he want them to do here? He wanted them to follow God. And he said, if you do follow God, you follow his will, you follow his command, obey his commandments, you follow his plan, God's going to bless you for it. And God, it's going to work out. God doesn't want you living a wasted life. Do you know any wasted lives? You say, well, that's cruel to say, but you still could probably think of a few, right? People that are just throwing their life away. They don't recognize there's a God. They don't recognize the God who gave them life. They're not trying to follow God. They're lost. God's will and plan is not for anybody to waste their life. To God be the glory. We're saying about it tonight. God's plan for every person is to know him, receive his son, and live a life that gives glory to God. That's your plan. That's your purpose in life, right? What am I to do this week? Try to give glory to God. Work on that. Ask the Lord, how can I give you glory this week? Because that's what you're here for. To witness, to fellowship with the Lord, and to give glory to God. So God had a plan for his people. Now the Lord had a plan here. Now the Lord said, people think it's cruel, but the Lord's like, I'm taking the land away from the Canaan land. I'm taking it away from the Canaanites. They're heathen. They don't listen to God. They don't recognize God. They don't acknowledge God. And God said, it's a wonderful land, and I'm actually going to give it to my people. I'm going to bless my people. I have a plan for them. I have a purpose for them, and I have a place for them. God had all that worked out. And just remember, God makes no mistakes, and God, what God does is right. But God has a plan for you and a place for you up there in heaven. But I'm saying God has a plan and a place for you down here on this earth as well to accomplish something for him. And he said part of his plan is that you love God. Moses gave a lot of commandments about the greatest commandment. Love God. Should we love God? Common sense ought to tell us to love God. Now look, a lot of people don't recognize God. They don't want nothing to do with God. They don't look to God. They don't listen to God. They don't even believe in God. But common sense ought to say there is a God and we ought to acknowledge him. And if he's God and I'm not, then I ought to fear him. Amen, right? I mean, that's just common sense. But then we have the Word of God that commands us to love him. You ought to love God tonight. Now, look, if you're saved and, next Sunday's Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday, we think about the cross. We think about the cross and the resurrection. And if we think about him that loved us and died for us and gave his life for us, boy, that ought to stir up some love in our hearts. Amen. Why should I love him? Because he first loved you. Why should I love him? Because he did everything to save your soul and to keep you out of hell and to give you a place in heaven. You ought to love him. Amen. He loves you. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a relationship with you. He wants to be in your life. He's knocking on that door, Revelation 3:20, and we need to open the door. He said, I'll come in and sup with you and you sup with me. We'll fellowship together. That's God Almighty up in heaven saying, I got a plan for you. I want you to love me. I love you. Now, he didn't make you love him. He didn't make robots, did he? He said you need to love God. He also said in that verse, you walk in his ways. Now, do you believe if you walk in the ways of God, your life would be better? You believe God can lead it better than you can? People always give this hypothetical, and it is a hypothetical. Heaven and hell, what if we die and find out it wasn't true? I would have wished I'd have lived my life in sin and wrecked and ruined my life and had a good time. No, you wouldn't. No. If you live the Christian life and then you just die as a dog and find out there's nothing to it, you still had a better life because you followed this. Now, I only like the line of thought I'm on. Now, I said it was a hypothetical, right? It is true. It's kind of like when Paul said in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, if there be no resurrection, but there is a resurrection. Amen, right? If there wasn't a resurrection, boy, life would be miserable, he said. But there is a resurrection. And what we're to do is to walk in the ways of God. As His people, we follow Him, we walk in His ways, right? We walk in the ways of God. We're blessed as we walk in the ways of God. It's better than following the devil, who's a liar and a cheat. He's out to kill and to steal and destroy. We don't want to follow him. Walk in the ways of God. And he said, keep his commandments. You know, one reason we go to church is to hear the Bible preached so we can know what the commandments are. We can know how God wants us to live for him, right? We can know right from wrong. I mean, that's what he's saying. I'm setting this before you. And if you'll follow what's in this book, this is the Word of God, all of these are the commandments of God. If you'll follow what's in this book, you're choosing life. You're choosing blessing, right? So he said, this is the plan of God. He gave it right here. You know, don't be a skeptic about the Bible. This is the Word of God. I listened to something recently that was talking about how preaching used to be. And how preaching did not, there was a day when preaching in America did not have to be so argumentative. And what they meant by that was, we're preaching to a generation now to where we're constantly trying to convince them that God and the Bible is true. I mean, you know, 30, 40 years ago, the lost man knew the Bible was true and didn't question it. He knew he wasn't walking in the ways of God. But he didn't question that there is a God and the Bible is the Word of God. Didn't question it. But now we live in a day to where we almost have to include in our sermons the argument that God is true. It is sad, but that's where we're at today. Why? Because the devil has raised up such a skeptical generation. Question everything. But it all goes back to Genesis 3. Nothing new under the sun. He's just saying doubt God, doubt God, doubt God. It's not true. So today we have an even harder time when we tell people keep the commandments. They're like, why? Well, he's God. I mean, can't you figure that out? He's God. He loves you. He died for you. But people are like, why should I? He says right here, if you'll obey God, he'll bless. If you don't, you perish, right? It's simple. God has a plan for your life. But let me say, number four, you need to know, number four, God has a purpose for your life as well. God has a purpose for your life. God had a purpose for all that he was doing. Why was he raising up the nation of Israel? One purpose. He would bring his son into the world through the nation of Israel. Christmas time, right? God had a purpose for calling out, as he mentioned, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God had a purpose when he called out Abraham and said, I'm going to make a nation of you. What was he going to do? He was going to, through that line, through that lineage, through all of that, he was going to bring his son into the world. Jesus was a Jew. You know, people question, well, you know, what color is Jesus? What did he look like? He was a Jew. Just figure out what a Jew looks like. Amen. And that was Jesus. He was an Israelite, right? But he was the Son of God. And that was the whole point of it. That was the whole purpose, was to bring his son into the world. God had a purpose. God still has a purpose. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. Did you know the purpose of God is to draw all men unto himself? The purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ was to draw all men unto himself. The story about Moses, and Jesus used it there in John 3 about lifting up the serpent, the brazen serpent on the pole. Look and live, right? That ugly thing up there, that serpent represents the devil and sin, and one day it would represent Jesus being lifted up on a cross, sinful, ugly sight. He would become sin for us, but if we'll just put our faith in the one who paid for our sin on the cross, that's God's purpose for us. That's what God wanted. God was working towards that right here. In this chapter, in this passage, God was working towards calling out a people unto himself. Today it's called the church. This is the church age and the age of grace. And we are now the people of God. We're you know, that was the people of God, God's children. Today we're God's children by faith, right? And God had a purpose. God's purpose is also, I believe, to fulfill all His promises. Now, did God tell them anything that didn't happen? Well, it was all conditional promises. As long as they did what God said, God's going to keep His promise, right? You know, God's purpose today is to keep His promise. Is He taking you to heaven? He promised it. He's doing it. Amen. I don't doubt the Word of God. Did God promise that He's going to save us? Did God promise that He's going to lead us? Did God promise that He's going to love us, never leave us nor forsake us? Did God promise that He'll hear and answer prayer? God's purpose is to keep His promises, right? And God was doing that right there for them. And God's purpose also is to prepare a place for His children to be with Him forevermore. And I'm glad that God is going to do that. The Revelation talks about the former things passed away. Aren't you glad there's going to be a home up there in heaven with no death, no tears, no sorrow, no sickness? Can you imagine that? I spoke to my mom this afternoon. I keep telling y'all, God's grace is good. She's doing wonderful. I talked to her this afternoon. I think it's finally hit. You know, it's sunk in. And she was having a bad day, you know, because of that. But, I said to her, I think separation by death is the toughest thing we go through in life. Losing a loved one like that. I mean, look, if you're a caretaker for your loved one, and then they're suddenly gone. Truth of the matter is, it was hard to care for them, but truth of the matter is, you would like to be able to do it for another 2 or 3 weeks. You know, you'd like to be able to do it longer. Because at least they're there with you, right? Amen? But then whenever you think about where they are, you're glad for them. Amen? So thank God for the Bible truths that give us hope. But we know there's a land up there called heaven where there's no more death, no more separation. No more sickness, no more sorrow. Amen. Aren't you glad for it? It's a life worth living down here, but think about it for eternity with God. His purpose and His plan was to get them into the promised land, and there was going to be battles, but there was also going to be victory. But beyond that, His plan and purpose is to take us into eternity, into heaven with Him forevermore. I think we're all, isn't sweeter, heaven getting sweeter every day? You believe that? I understand that more. I mean, I had my dad for almost 58 years, so I know a lot of people didn't get that long. But I tell you, whenever your parents go, and many of you have already suffered that, a long time ago perhaps, or your loved one goes, or a spouse goes, and they're up there in heaven. Heaven does get sweeter all the time, right? Some of you got more people on the other side than you do this side. The older you get, you know, you hear people say that. Got more over there than I do over here now. Heaven gets sweeter all the time. You know, that's God's plan and purpose, is to have His people together with Him. Now His purpose is to call all people unto Himself. All who will believe. That's what they'll get. Amen. That's what we'll have right there. It's going to be a life. It is a life. It is a call to a life worthwhile living. A life filled with peace and hope and the promises of God. And what a wonderful life it is. You know, the Bible tells us, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:24. You know what that is? Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What does that mean? If you want to have a life worthwhile, a life worth living, He said, keep your heart with all diligence. Keep the commandments. Love God. Then you'll have a life worthwhile. Hey, well, you know, so-and-so, boy, they got a life worthwhile because they got, boy, their bank account is endless and they got mansions and they got cars. Where are they going if it ends with a Christless life, it's not a life worth living. I'd rather be poor and meager and knowing I got a place in heaven. Amen. We sing some songs about that. Amen. You'd rather have your little cottage here, but you know you got your place up there. Amen. Keep your heart with all diligence. I think that's what He's telling them right here. What Solomon said in Proverbs parallels, I think, to what they said right there. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, right? You want a life worth living? Follow the direction of the Lord. Follow the leadership of God. Love Him. Do His will. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's a life worthwhile, right? If you can get to the end of it and say, I believe I followed the Lord all the way through. I believe I did the will of God for my life. If you get to the end of it and you can say that, that's a life worthwhile. And it can happen if you just keep following the Lord, right? And not get out of the will of God. I preached to you recently in Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ. You know, he said in verse 20, look at that and we'll close. Verse 20, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, thou mayest obey his voice, and thou mayest cleave unto him. What's this saying? For he is thy life. For he is thy life. You think the Apostle Paul might have picked up on that when he said, for me to live is Christ, for he is thy life. Those verses, hey, the Bible is wonderful how it connects each other. Amen? This little verse hidden in Deuteronomy 30, and then what Paul said in Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ. What was Paul saying? Choose life. And then based on that, he said what? And to die is gain. Far better up there. If you do it, if you receive Christ and live for Him now, you'll be glad for it for eternity. Amen? Aren't you glad, folks, dear church, dear Christian, that you're not lost, but you've got the Word of God that tells you and calls you to worthwhile living? Higher ground, amen? You can have a life of worthwhile living. Why? Because you believe God's Word. You believe God is God. You believe the Bible is God's Word. You've got direction. You've got guidance. You've got hope. You've got promises. And you've got commandments to keep and promises to stand on, it gives you a life worth living. Amen? Who else has that? Only Bible believers have that. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So if you go through Him, you believe in Him, you live this kind of life. You choose life. And you realize that He is thy life. Thank God for the truths that we have in the Bible, connected from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Amen? And the only life worth living is the life we give to God. He gave it to us, and now we honor Him when we give it back to Him, right? And He'll bless it when you do that. Would you bow your heads with me tonight, please? Dear Father, I thank You, Lord, for this emphasis. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You, Lord, for what we don't have to be lost. But, Lord, we can have peace and guidance and direction and promises and hope and an eternal future in You. So, Lord, we thank You for that tonight. We want to be lifted up and encouraged in our spirits because of this tonight. And, Lord, I pray You'd help whatever's going on in the hearts of the people, Lord. God, just to look to You, Lord, to get that help and that direction they need tonight. And that extra strength and peace they need. And Lord, knowing, Lord, that it is a life worth living because You gave it to us. You gave eternal life, and You give abundant life. Help us now, Lord, to obey Your voice, as Moses told those folks to do. And I ask it in Jesus' name this evening. Let's stand. Our heads are bowed.